Testament reading this morning can be found on page 600 of the Bibles in the pew. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. That's Isaiah 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by any God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Waiting can be really challenging for us. I think Brian and Talita could tell us about that just now. You might have noticed that Brian's not here today. I got a phone call at 8:30 this morning. And so even though I wrote about Brian and Talita waiting during the week, hopefully just now, they'll be moving towards welcoming their new baby. So do pray for Brian and Talita just now. Waiting can be really challenging. I don't know, but I imagine that the coming of the armistice in November 1918 would have been known before the 11th day of the 11th month. And I can imagine how hard it was for soldiers in trenches waiting for that day, waiting for that hour, hoping that it would come before another attack was launched. We're not good at waiting. Whether it is for the traffic lights to change or the proverbial egg to boil, our impatience spills out. We just don't like waiting. When we're waiting, we often fall into doubts. It's never going to happen. Then we're tempted to take action, to do something, to make what we're waiting for happen quicker. When did you last wait for a lift in a building? Tell me if you did this. You reached out and you pushed the button and the light came on, but within 10 seconds you'd figured out that the button didn't work or it wasn't going to come, and you pushed it again, and maybe once or twice, just to make sure it got the message. It's not going to make the lift come any quicker, but we all do it. I need to do something to try and make this waiting move along. Our God of grace has a wonderful promise for us. In the last verse of Isaiah 40, this chapter we've been reading for a few weeks now. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you think you need your strength renewed? Does it feel like that to you? Is there something in this, a renewal of strength, that you would pray for yourself or for others? I wonder if you hear that verse, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and you wish that the Lord had said it different. Those who exercise, those who are active and who are doing something, they shall have their strength renewed. Well, that's not what he said. Do you find it hard to wait for the Lord? Well, you're not the only one. Let's listen to these grace-filled, life-generating words, and let's encourage one another to wait for the Lord. I looked back and noticed there was only one set of footprints. You may remember the poem. Why are we so quick to come to the conclusion that the Lord is absent, that he's not with us, that he doesn't know or care or want to help us? Why are we always so quick to jump to that conclusion? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my right is disregarded by my God? It's hard to wait upon God when you think he isn't there, when you doubt whether he's coming or not. Such doubts about the presence or absence of God can lead us far from his grace and his mercy. This is one of the most common temptations which comes upon us all. It came upon the people in Jerusalem to whom Isaiah declared these words. But the name of the baby born at Bethlehem is Emmanuel, God with us. The promise of that baby when grown, as the risen Lord Jesus Christ is, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The way Matthew tells the gospel story begins with Emmanuel, ends with the risen Lord Jesus promising, I will be with you. God will be with you. This is the assurance of the gospel. God is with us. Our way is not hidden from the Lord. He can see you. He knows the paths that life has led you upon. Our right, our situation in life is not disregarded or ignored or treated as nothing by the Lord. He knows all about your situation, the good and the bad, the challenging and the joyful. Our God sees, our God knows, because our God is the God of grace. He is always with us. When we notice only one set of footprints, remember they're not ours, but his. Put away your doubts. God loves you and sees you and knows you and is with you to carry you. Let no fear of God's absence keep you from waiting for him. Knowing what it is or who we are waiting for can encourage us in our waiting. Waiting for family or friends to arrive for that evening together. Waiting for that new film to be released. There's another Star Wars one this Christmas. When we wait for the Lord, we're not waiting for someone who is unable to come to us, who is unwilling to come to us, who is not disposed to be gracious towards us. We are waiting for the mighty God, the Holy One, the King of all kings, who is also our Father, our Savior, and our friend. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This is the second time in Isaiah 40 that we've come across verses which remind us that our God is the creator of all things. This is a point of our faith. This is something we confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But this is not only something we say we believe. This confession of God as creator of all things has a purpose. There is work that this confession does for us in our lives. Don't you know this? Haven't you heard this? The prophet engages the listener and the reader. Yes, we've heard this. Yes, we've read it. We've even stood up in church and confessed it together in the Apostles' Creed. It's as though the prophet would say to us, well, think a bit more deeply. What does it mean for God to be the creator of all things? It means that God is strong. He is able to make all things and to continue to hold all things in his powerful hands. If he faints, it's all going to fall out of control, so he's not going to faint. If he gets tired or weary, his purpose of grace and love will fail, so he's not going to get tired either. We are not waiting for our God to come to be with us, to be our help and our comfort, only to find out that when he comes, he's already tired. He's already weary. He's got no strength left. All the strength, all the power of God, all his wisdom and energy, everything by which he works to create and sustain all things, by which he works to renew and redeem all creation, everything is brought with him for us when God comes to us. God's grace is not timid or frail, but dynamic with power. But do you see it? Just the next verse. Look at what the powerful God does with his power. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. It's as though the powerful God comes filled with power and gives his power away. United to Christ, filled up by his energizing spirit, that creative power of God floods our lives. Where once we had no strength, now we are strong. The power of God to overcome temptation, to overcome the temptation to doubt his presence with us, to overcome the temptation to think that we can get by on our own without his help, to overcome the temptation to disbelieve his power at work in us and for us, to overcome the temptation to diminish his grace. Like the mighty wind filling the sails of a ship or a yacht, so the Holy Spirit of God will blow upon our lives, fill us up that we might be moved by his power to live as his people. When you think that you're close to fainting, you are right. When you feel that you've got no might left, you're right in that also. That's when the power and grace of God will rush upon you, overwhelm you, drench you in his power and strength and grace and might and love. This is the gracious word of God for us all. The powerful God will come and empower us and strengthen us. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You are not strong enough, and you never will be. Apart from the Lord and his grace, there's no hope for us, no life for us, no joy or peace for us. But if only we would wait for the Lord. Don't you know your limits yet? There's a proper time in life, usually when we're teenagers, when we think we know everything, when we imagine that we will change the world, that we will get it right, and our generation will make everything perfect. How long does it take for us to learn that we have limits? Not how long does it take to sink into weary cynicism. No, never that. But when will we learn that we are not all powerful? We are not able to do all things by ourselves and for ourselves. When will we learn that we need help? This whole chapter of grace, this whole of Isaiah 40 funnels down to this one point. Will you admit that you need help? Will you say before your God that you are faint and weary? Will you admit to being exhausted? God's grace enters through this door, through this dependence upon him. If you can do it by yourself, you don't need grace. Grace is nothing to you. It's certainly not amazing. But when you confess your weakness, when you know that you can't take another step on your own, then you can sing and mean it, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home. Perhaps up till today you've been wrestling on. You've been trying to take another step in your own strength. Aren't you tired? There's a better way. There's the way of God's grace. It's a way you can walk upon today, right now. Just take a silent moment to gasp out to your Father how weary you are, how much you need your strength to be renewed, and He will hear and heed your faintest cry. Those who wait upon the Lord are renewed, strengthened, empowered. When the Lord comes to you, when He gives His grace and His strength, you will mount up on wings as eagles. You will soar to the heavens. I've never tried hand gliding, but I once knew someone who did. He told me that hand gliding is all about what they call thermals. Not Damart. Thermals. Hot air currents that rise up from the ground to the sky. Hand gliders and eagles do the same thing. They fly from thermal to thermal, and when they hit a thermal, they just spread out their wings and rise up on the hot air. They don't make the thermals. They can't control them or manage them. They wait for them. And when they find one, they soar up to the heavens. An eagle sitting in his nest is not going to find that thermal. He has to jump off the cliff. He has to trust that there are thermals out there, and he's going to find them and rise up on them. You're not going to find the thermal of God's grace until you jump off that cliff edge, until you trust Him. Spread out your wings, set your sail, wait for the wind of God's grace to fill you and move you. Spread your wings by praying that God will come and be gracious to you. Set your sail by opening your Bible and reading His promises there. You rise up when you worship, when you join with others to seek after God's face. How to wait upon the Lord has been known to the church for centuries. Centuries. It's not a secret. Christian fellowship, Bible reading, and prayer. Waiting upon the Lord is putting yourself in the way of God so that when He comes, He will bump right into you. Wait for the Lord. Wait because we've run out of strength to go on by ourselves. Wait for the Lord because we've learned that He is gracious. He has promised that He will be with us, and He always keeps His promises. Wait upon the Lord because He loves us. Wait upon the Lord because we long to fly. Fly with His powerful Spirit beneath us as we rise up to heaven on strong eagle wings. Our hearts are burning that we might live more closely with Him, knowing more of His presence, that we might run in His service and not grow weary, that our lives might walk in the paths of being a blessing to others, that the fruit of the Spirit might be grown in us. The grace of God is for you, for all of us. All that He asks, is that we wait upon Him. Will you wait upon the Lord? Let's pray together. Father, today's a day when we don't want to do anything but wait before You. We want You to set a fire in our hearts. We want to feel Your grace and Your love and Your joy at work in us. May these things help us to wait for You, till by Your grace You empower us and strengthen us, and we rise up closer to Your presence. May we wait upon You today and know You coming to be God with us. For we ask it all in Your name. Amen.